Welcome to the SwampSwami.com audio podcast. Take it away, Mr. Haney. Swamp Swami has the sports for me. Watching sports since the age of three. He covers stories far and wide. Bring your sense of humor and come inside. Sports scores and more. Fresh takes. Fast breaks. Sports are my life. Yeah, right, said his wife. Swamp Swami's podcast show. And welcome back to the SwampSwami.com sports podcast. Today's story, help wanted babysitters for NBA teams. In seven different National Basketball Association markets, you may find an advertisement which reads like this. Billion-dollar professional basketball organization is seeking qualified applicants for the position of head basketball coach. Previous men's basketball coaching experience is not necessarily required. Exceptional pay, but must be willing to accept a short-term contract. No! Inability to get along with referees is a must. Applicants must be able to converse with local and national media before, during, and after each game. Answers, though, must be vague and not cast any blame toward the team's highly paid players or the franchise ownership. Prospective hires must possess a flexible attitude toward the players and allow them to make the final decisions related to play on the basketball court, discussions during timeouts, post-game activities, and off-season training. Ability to inspire confidence in both players and franchise owners is required. You see what I mean? On Wednesday, veteran NBA head coach Stan Van Gundy was fired after just 1 year with the New Orleans Pelicans. It seems that his players, including headliner Zion Williamson, do not like the coach's old-school mentality, which included an insistence on playing tough defense. His predecessor, Alvin Gentry, was fired the previous year because he didn't stress enough defense and was too easy on his players. Go figure. Both Van Gundy, with a record of 30-40 this year, and Gentry, with a 31-41 record last year, had totally different approaches and coaching styles, yet neither one produced enough wins by season's end to keep their job. And that's why these two men have been vanquished from the Crescent City basketball franchise. As the NBA playoffs trudge slowly toward an eventual end sometime in early July, there are now seven head coaching positions available for the 30 NBA teams. In Dallas, Rick Carlisle is gone. New Orleans, Stan Van Gundy. In Portland, longtime coach Terry Stotts, out of here. Washington, Scott Skiles, gone. Orlando's Steve Clifford, he's gone. Indiana's Nate Bjorgren, he's gone after 1 year. And in Boston, Brad Stevens, he's out. Dallas Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle resigned Thursday, but a press release after his exit hinted that the 61-year-old coach is not planning to retire just yet. Orlando's coach Steve Clifford technically resigned, while Boston's Brad Stevens was promoted up into the general manager position after GM Danny Ainge opted to retire. The 23% turnover rate, that's right, 23% for NBA coaches right now is significantly higher than for any other traditional profession. According to a national job search firm, sales and marketing jobs lead the way nationally with an annual turnover rate of 17%, followed by researchers at 16%, media communications people 14.8%, support functions, 14.6%, and surprisingly to me, human resources rounds out the top group of high turnover at 14.5%. The annual turnover rate for all professional jobs, about 11% annually. Come to think of it, the traditional responsibilities for an NBA head coach include many of the same functions associated with these other high turnover positions. Think about it. They have to sell to the players, the media, and the franchise ownership. You have to perform research. Hey, did you know your point guard Philadelphia is shooting just 32% from the free throw line? Communicate with the media. You know, this team is really starting to come together, Marv. Handle support functions. Like which nightclub are we going to after the game tonight? And handle certain human resource functions, like today we're going to watch a training film on how to get along with your teammates. Though the annual pay for an NBA head coach is nearly $5 million per year,
excellent.
You have to balance the money with that high probability that you're going to be fired at some point, too. Yes, times are a-changing in the NBA head coaching circles. These 7 new underemployed NBA head coaches are all white, too. That doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be replaced by a black male as their next coach, though. Don't be surprised if you see the first female head coach in the NBA very soon. San Antonio assistant coach Becky Hammons is already making the interview rounds, including up in Boston, while Teresa Witherspoon, an assistant in New Orleans, is reportedly under consideration for the Pelicans' top job. Though Becky Hammons, who played college ball at Colorado State, and Teresa Witherspoon, who played collegiately at Louisiana Tech, are both talented women's college basketball players themselves, neither one, though, has coached a men's basketball team at any level. So if you're thinking, how can a female coach be any more effective in coaching a men's basketball team than a male? Let's think about that. The job of an NBA head basketball coach in the year 2021 seems to have been reduced to organizing team practices, giving pregame pep talks, yelling at the referees, calling timeouts, showing your drawing skills on the grease board, and providing comments to the media, as long as you don't say anything bad about one of your players or the franchise ownership. I'm sure that a female head basketball coach would be quite capable of handling today's job duties and give the franchise some positive media coverage, at least until the team's losses start to mount, that is. NBA head coaches, though, make far less money than most of their players, including the guys sitting at the end of the bench. The NBA players know this, and so do the head coaches. So if a team just doesn't happen to like that current head coach, a losing record by the team might first trigger a change in the team's head coach. How about that? As an NBA team's season ticket sales starts to drop, the first reaction from the franchise owner, it's usually to push the eject button on the team's head coach, as it's much simpler and cheaper than changing out all those expensive players.
Yes!
Let me give you an example. A former college standout in South Dakota, Nate Bjorkgren, was a successful high school basketball coach. He then worked as an assistant coach and later a head coach in the NBA's Development League. He later became an NBA assistant coach in Phoenix and Toronto before his promotion to head basketball coach for the Indiana Pacers this year. He had a ton of relevant coaching experience before being handed his NBA coaching job. After the Pacers missed the playoffs, though, this season for the first time since 2015, rookie head coach Nate Bjorkgren was fired after just one season as the head coach in Indiana. The NBA's most recent Coach of the Year in 2021 is a man who was fired from his last head coaching job in Minnesota just 2 years ago in 2019. He's now the Coach of the Year. Tom Thibodeau, like many in the NBA's perpetual coaching carousel, went jobless for 1 year and then he resurfaced to take the daunting job of trying to make the New York Knicks into a winner again. Well, his 2021 Knicks made the NBA playoffs this year for the first time in 8 seasons and 6 coaches ago. A year from now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that same coach, Tom Thibodeau, was kicked to the curb if the team underperforms on the court and starts to complain about their coach. Let's take a brief quiz now to show just how irrelevant NBA head coaches have become. Number 1. Can you name any current NBA head coaches whose leadership really makes a difference in how his team performs on the court every night? Question number 2. Other than San Antonio's Greg Popovich, can you name 4 other current NBA head coaches? And a bonus question, number 3. Why do NBA teams even need a head basketball coach anymore? With generational wealth being built by today's NBA players based on the money they're paid, it's not a stretch to believe that many of today's basketball players really don't care about accumulating something else, a team championship. Though I'm no fan of LeBron James on or off the court, he always plays the game hard and pursues winning championships with a similar passion. With nearly $40 million being paid annually to the aging 36-year-old NBA star LeBron James with the Lakers and to 36-year-old Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns, the head coach of those basketball teams has zero chance of success if the team's key player is not on board and in sync with the coach. I'm a bit surprised that one or more of today's premier aging players hasn't become the team's player coach just yet. Back in the late 1960s, Boston's Bill Russell became the player coach of the Celtics. Hall of Fame guard Lenny Wilkins did the same thing while playing for the Seattle Supersonics back in the early 1970s. The last NBA player coach was Boston's Dave Cowens back in 1978 and 1979. The Celtics, though, had a losing record that year, and there hasn't been another full-time player slash coach in the NBA ever since. I think that both LeBron James with the Lakers and Chris Paul, whose team next year hasn't been determined, might do a fine job as a player coach. However, it's quite unlikely to happen, as any additional monetary compensation to take on the additional role of coach, well, isn't likely to motivate either one of these guys to take the job. In sum, there is no job security when taking the job of head basketball coach in today's NBA. The coach does not control the players who are being drafted, signed, or traded. That's the general manager's job. The coach simply has to win basketball games with the players which he, or soon she, has been handed. When things go sideways, you will shoulder most of the blame and be the first person asked to walk the plank. In today's National Basketball Association, the qualifications to be a successful head basketball coach seem to me to have become more like those you'd want for a professional babysitter. You want the children, or the players in this case, to have a good time while you are there to serve them and help them remain safe and protected, like from the referees, the fans, and the media. You also want to make sure that the parents, in this case the franchise owners, stay happy whenever they check in on how those little darlings are doing back at home. So if you want to become an NBA head coach, remember, you also, like a babysitter, need to obtain a few good references for your next head coaching job. I'm Swamp Swami. See you next time.